following.
Interview with Betty Martin of In Your Own Words. We are going to be talking about pitch letters. Okay, so Betty, welcome to our interview today. And I just want to say to people who are listening that I met Betty just in this past year. She was taking a couple of my classes. We were working together. And one of her marketing strategies was to send pitch letters to certain companies around the area who looked like they might have a good history, and she was going to propose that she do their company history for them. The letters that she wrote were very cleanly written, beautifully written, and I asked her if she would share with us some of the things that she thought about in putting together her pitch letters. And I also have to say that Betty is just an exceptionally good writer. So welcome, Betty.
All right, thank you. You're a little over the top there, but I'll take it.
So, would you like to introduce yourself and your business?
Surely. I'm a writer for a long time, a freelance writer. And the short version is I started working freelance in corporate communications, moved after about a decade to writing for foundations and nonprofit organizations. And I was there did that for about a decade or so until 2008 hit me hard. The business dried up. I was looking for other things, stumbled upon the personal history business. And through various kinds of trial and error, I've come to realize that multiple lines of business, having a foot in different markets, is really the way to go when you're a freelancer. No more eggs in all one basket. That was a big loss in 2008. And so I launched my personal history business at the same time that I was still trying to generate business in different areas, all writing. And what's taken off at this point is writing about healthcare and medical issues. And so my personal history business, In Your Own Words, is the second focus at this point in time. But I've learned that those focuses change. And they share many common elements in terms of marketing. I'm going to speak to that.
Okay. All right. So we were working together when you put together the pitch letter marketing strategy. Can you share with us who your target clients were for this strategy? How did you choose them?
I live in an area that has a lot of small businesses. I live in upstate New York. I guess it's a sign of our times. They celebrate the family aspect of their business, family run, family owned. There are a lot of family businesses around here, and that's who I'm going after. People, local businesses, not of any one kind or another, but with that family tie.
Okay. What exactly was the product that you were pitching to them? I think I have an idea, but I'll just ask.
I'm a writer, and that's my strength. That's what I love to do, writer and editor. So I mostly propose to publish family/organizational histories, a history that captures both the family story and the business story. Although I also offer interviews on CDs, unedited interviews at this point. Mm-hmm.
Okay. How did you find the people or companies that you wanted to pitch to?
There are a lot of local publications in my area, within a 30-minute, 45-minute diameter, a lot of local publications, and so it's easy to pick them out from there.
Okay. All right. Can you tell us what your criteria were for choosing the ones that you pitched to?
I would look them up on the website and gather whatever information I can to find out if they were multi-generational.
Okay.
So family business that just got started, I haven't gone to them yet. I'm going to the ones that, you know, really have persisted throughout a couple of three generations primarily, at least. Older, the better. But yeah, the three generations at a minimum to...
Okay.
I think they have, there's something historical there to talk about.
Okay. All right. So what would you say are the essential parts of a pitch letter?
I think the biggest mistake most people make when they write a pitch letter, this is sort of an indirect answer, is not seeing, is talking about themselves instead of the reader. So starting with the subject line, you have to have something there that will make the reader want to open your email, because that's how I approach these people. And the rest of it is, again, to build on that when you get into the letter, to offer just enough about what you do and your background to grab their attention and not bore them. People aren't
okay.
going to read much, so you have to choose your words carefully.
So just a small note to the listeners. Betty very generously is letting us look at a sample letter, and it should be available for download along with this interview. So are there things that are variable in your pitch letters and things that are the same in each letter? In other words, do you use any kind of a template?
Yeah, I think it's important to have a template, but at the same time not be wedded to it.
Okay.
Because you need to pick up on, even if you only have a little information, and I definitely advise doing whatever background research online or in conversation or whatever that you can, I definitely recommend tailoring your template as much as you can to the person, the individual reader that you're sending your email to. And it's critical to have a name. You don't want to just send it to the company. You want to have a name. And ideally, you want to have spoken to that person to at least have them somewhat expect, although you also have to acknowledge that, you know, you're not the top of their list, but so that they've heard your name. There's something, they know something about the idea. They haven't rejected you out of hand. Most people won't reject an email out of hand. If you ask to, you know, permission to send them an email, try and target a person.
So, can you tell us a little bit about how you approach someone before you send the letter? What sorts of things do you say to them?
Well, I keep it short. I introduce myself. I try and keep a 20-second, 30-second spiel highlighting who I am, what I do, why it would be of value to them.
Okay.
Ask if they're interested, if I might send more information. Not tying them down to anything.
Okay.
Being as friendly and as inviting as I can be.
Okay. So then the letter is actually the second step in the process.
Often. Not always, but often.
But often. Okay. In what way do you try to pique the curiosity of the letter recipient so he or she will read the rest of the letter?
Well, back to what I said before, talk about them. Everybody wants to read about them. You what you know about their business. Although don't overstate the obvious, but the fact that you have something specific to them, or they can benefit specifically from what you have. And that's the next point, is how can they benefit? And then
how
you might talk about who else has benefited.
What sort of things do you mention to them that a company, family, personal history, how would it benefit them?
Well, in the same way that, you know, a personal history would benefit it. And the APH has this down, and I often go back to it. The benefits of a personal history are so long-lasting for generations, And when it comes to an organization, it helps can help really clarify some of the goals and the value of the business. But in broader terms, I think that anybody who has the opportunity to describe who they are and what they do benefits from that process and gains a whole range of benefits from sharing that with family members, clients, the community.
Do you think that many companies print extra copies and have them available for their clients or their customers in addition to their family? And does that make it for a different process when you're writing? Does the book have to be different if it's also going out in the community than if it's just going to the family?
Yes, to the second part of that question. And the process can be the same, and one can extrapolate from a larger history to print versions of a smaller history that might be a giveaway to clients or customers or potential customers. And that's I think that's a pretty important offering to make and to let people know that there are those two particular approaches.
Okay. So let's say that in this second step, you've talked to someone, that's first step, they've received your letter, second. If they want to learn more, what's the next step?
Well, I always include a link to my website. Obviously,
okay.
They'll have my email address and my phone number. And I will often say that I will follow up and take the onus off of them to follow up with me. Is that what you're after? I think that's the way.
So then,
it, yeah.
If they're really interested, then it goes into the sales process.
I guess
so. I'm just wondering, which is better, a hard copy letter or an email?
Well, maybe I'm lazy, but I haven't done a hard copy letter for years. I mean, it's all email. I mean,
it's all email for you.
I think it's all email. You want to make it easiest for people to respond. And when's the last time anybody, wrote you a letter?
Well, I'm an exception to the case because I actually have some pen pals. But
all right. Well,
that's an exception to the rule.
They're pen pals, right? Who conducts
that's right.
How is business conducted? That's my question.
Okay. Do you want to say a little bit about how you keep track of people in the follow-up process? Because I know, once you start a marketing strategy like this, you can very quickly have various people that you're pitching to in all kinds of different stages of response. How do you keep track of people?
Well, I would love to hear from other people how they do it, although I'm not a spreadsheet kind of person. That would be my ideal, to be able to look at a spreadsheet and not get cross-eyed.
Uh-huh.
So I use a card filing system, just those little 3x5 cards, note cards, and shuffle them into various stacks write my notes about who I've spoken to, when I spoke to them, what their response was, that kind of thing. When I fill up a card, I can just staple a new card to it. Very tactile.
Very tactile.
Yes.
So when you're using this kind of a marketing system, do you find it's better to send out contact letters, pitch letters, in small batches and follow up with those before you start another batch? Or how do you do that?
I don't do it like that. Yeah, I do. When I'm in a marketing phase, which should be all the time, and this is one of the discussions I have with myself all the time, and you and I have spent some time on this as well, I give myself a good pat on the back if I send out make three or four new contacts a day.
A day.
And if I make, three or four contacts two or three times a week, I get a pretty good pat on the back. That's one of the challenges, how to work and market. It's, one of the challenges of being self-employed.
Yes.
I don't have a formula. I have, a lot of experience with my own foibles.
Uh-huh.
But
Does
I do know one thing, which, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, you
well,
go ahead.
Say, I do know one thing which I think, you know, leads into your next question about, you know, how, I don't know exactly, but the follow-up to that is, you just can't stop. It's constant. You have to market yourself all the time.
All the
and
time.
Especially when you're being successful.
Yes.
And build
I agree
on
with
your
that.
Successes. Yes. And, you know, use your successes in your pitch letter. I'm working now on this fabulous project that, or I think you'll be interested in this fabulous project that I'm working on right now, and describe it in a, you know, a line or two. But make sure that it does relate to what your prospective client might be interested in, and I think that's huge.
So 3 letters a day, that also includes the research to find the company and, mm-hmm. you know, actually crafting the letter, in this case the email, and sending it out. How much, when you're in that kind of a marketing mode, how much time do you spend a week working on this? Plus the follow-up and everything.
That's a tough one.
That's a hard question.
That's a hard question because...
Well, 3 a day, that sounds...
Yeah.
That's, you know, 15 a week. That's a lot.
I know,
really.
Well, I've had a good week. We'll see what next week is like. You know, it's... I'm going to say 5 hours.
Okay.
You know, even if the pitch letters don't vary tremendously, when you take
uh-huh.
all the research into account, all the following up, everything, it's time. It's real
yes.
time. But it's less time than I'd spend if I had to commute an hour to a job every day.
That's true. Very true. Good point. Good comparison.
Thank you.
So do you have kind of an idea of the equation of the whole thing? So if you spend this amount of time per week and you send it, let's just say it's a good pat on the back week, you send out 3 a day, how many responses do you expect
no,
to get
I can't,
from those 15?
I can't go there. What I have learned is that responses, even the most enthusiastic and positive of responses, doesn't necessarily translate into work. Some of my best clients have come seemingly from out of the blue, meaning that they're people I've contacted, but I didn't necessarily get a feeling one way or the other that there would be a sure bet.
Yeah.
And then there you go. They need me. They call me, and we're off. And it can turn into a multi-year relationship. So, can't answer that one.
Okay. So I would just like to remind my listeners that if she's contacting 15 companies a week, even if it doesn't immediately result in work, she's also touching them with an awareness of her business, which gets out into the community. So that's a second meta level of marketing that she's doing in addition to the direct pitch. So do you ever go back to these companies if there was a semi-positive response?
Oh, always. I go back.
Always.
I go back. Absolutely. I follow up, and I will, even if I don't get a person, I leave voicemails. Voicemails are very valuable, very important, because what's so important to remember is that your timing, i.e. your need for work and your hunger to get new clients, may not coincide with the other person's timing. That other
right.
person might just sort of take notice of you, file you away, and 6 months later or 2 years later be jogged by some memory or by another call that you have made. I call people back 3 times. That's my little formula. I will leave 3 voice messages if I haven't gotten anybody, spaced approximately 3 weeks or a month apart. And
okay.
after that, it's a case by case. I have to decide, all right, am I going to go back to this person? Was there anything that made me think I'm not, you know, howling into the wind or what? So that's kind of the framework that I've set up for myself.
Okay. So I have 2 more questions, and
sure.
the second to the last one is, do you have any sort of words of wisdom that you'd like to share with personal historians, of beginning business owners, about making the most of pitch letters as a marketing strategy. What would you suggest about
starting this up? You know, I would recommend, my words of wisdom come from somebody else. There is a writer, his name is Peter Bowerman, and he has written several books, The Well-Fed Writer and The Well-Fed Writer Whatever. He has a great online presence, so it's easy to look him up, Bowerman, and he's not paying me for this. But he is all about marketing for people who are in business for themselves. Now, his focus is primarily business writing, copywriting, but the strategies, the concerns, the pitfalls, the challenges, whatever you want to, you know, it applies to, I think, anyone who's in business for her or himself. And I love these books. I love his tone and his approach. And it's like any books, you know, like this. You take what you need and you leave the rest. But he's got a lot of good experience, and he cultivates experience from other people. So it's not just him. It's mm-hmm. the world that he's built up and gets there, you know, shares other people's experiences.
Okay. So you're recommending, your words of wisdom would be to look up Peter Bowerman online and get some good tips from him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, his first and second books are just great.
The Well-Fed Writer and
I forget what the second one is called, The Well-Fed Writer. Yeah, back for seconds. I'm looking on my bookshelf. Back for seconds.
Okay, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Okay, so the last question is, what services that you offer might personal historians want to take advantage of?
Well, since you think I'm so good, I'd be happy to help people craft pitch letters in any way that I could. I really can't. I can't think of what else. I mean,
I would actually recommend to those of you who are listening, if you are not a good writer and you're struggling to put together a good basic template pitch letter, that you take Betty up on this. So, Betty, why don't you give us, again, your name, your phone number, and your email, so if someone wants to get in contact with you, they can.
Oh, that's lovely of you. Okay, my name is Betty Martin, and I just had an essay published in the last APH newsletter. Thank you very much. And my contact information, well, my website for personal history is IYOW, for In Your Own Words, IYOWpublishing.com. And my other website is, for my other business, is Marton Editorial, all one word, Marton Editorial.com. And my phone number, 845-256-9040. And I'd be delighted to hear from anybody.
And do you want to give your email address, too?
My email is bamartin@mindspring.com. Mindspring was the precursor of Earthlink. So that should be how long I've been around.
Betty, thank you very much for sharing this, and also especially for sharing this sample letter, which will come with the interview. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Dion. It's always great to talk to and work with you, because you're sharp, you know the business, and you've got as clear a head as anyone I've ever spoken to. So thanks a lot.
Thank you for that. Okay.
No problem.
All right. So hold on for just a second. I'm going to turn off the recording. Bye for now, all you listeners.